than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, last week, Josh and I were talking about how this was crazy and every game is a nail biter and I'm getting gray in my beard because of this team. And then the Ravens decide, hey, you know what? We're going to flex some muscles. We're going to show you what we can do. And they just completely beat up on the Chargers. And who saw that coming? We didn't. We absolutely didn't. I mean, that's just crazy that the Ravens came out and absolutely dominated this team that a lot of people were picking to beat the Ravens, coming into M&T Bank and coming into Baltimore and beating the Ravens. So joining me as always to talk all about it, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
You're right, man. I'm doing great. You're right. This is in less than a week, because obviously we played Monday, right? We went from, this is our reactions at the end of the game with what voices we had left. How the heck did we win that game? Ain't no business winning the game too. I didn't see that coming. Did you see that coming? No, I didn't see that coming. That was fun. Like, again, I mean, it's a good way to handle business being a roller coaster season right now. But, like, it's funny. I looked at everybody's predictions, including, you know, going back on ours. And you're right. Everybody had, like, 31-27. 24-29, like 35-40. Like, no one had like a more than a 5 or 7 point win for either team. And just start to finish, man, this team just came out and surprised us all and played, dude, they played phenomenal. I mean, you know, obviously there's some, you know, there are some negative factors in this game to pick apart, but man, my gosh, to do what they did against the Chargers in a fashion where, especially defensively, like, we can talk about the offense too. I mean, obviously, you know, all day long, but like, defensively, they stole the show. I mean, what a turnaround versus a display against the Colts, and then to come out against the Chargers team who just literally scored 47 points a week ago and over 300 yards, almost 400 yards total offense, and shut down Central. Wow. That looked like the Ravens defense of old, man. I thought Ray Lewis and Reed were back on the field. That was
the defense. The defense actually they showed up and they showed off on Sunday. They really did up against the Chargers. They made the Chargers quarterback very uncomfortable the entire game. That's what you want to see. Marlon Humphrey was doing his thing. The Joker, he came out of nowhere and he showed off and did his thing. He got his first career interception, which was absolutely fantastic to see. It's crazy. Maybe the Indianapolis Colts game, they kind of woke up and realized, oh, you know, we, you know, some these teams can figure us out. They know what they're doing. We need to get back to the way things were. And they did it, man. This was a game won by this defense. Yes, Lamar and the running backs and the offensive line, everybody did their part. This was the most full team win. You know, I was especially complaining last week about how many times can Lamar put this team on his back and win. I loved the games that we've seen so far this season. Absolutely. I mean, we're 5-1. How do you complain about that? But we've seen Lamar over and over and over again put this team on his back. And I said, can he do that 17 times? Luckily, this game, every aspect of the Ravens worked out. The offense, the defense, the special teams, everybody did their jobs. Maybe not perfectly, but as perfect as we have seen so far this season.
You're right, man. We talked about that. You know, Lamar's awesome. You know, crazy athlete, best player in the field. Number 8 gets it done, and we talked about that. What is the likelihood of him carrying the team all 17 games plus playoffs if we want to make a February run here to do that? That's a lot to ask of him. You know, he's going to get real tired, and we need role players. We need somebody to help him out. You know, Lamar had to do it all on Monday night. Obviously, it helps. You know, Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews stepped up big time to help Lamar. But Lamar basically, I mean, dude, put the team on his back. Threw for 300-something yards in the fourth quarter and three touchdowns alone. It was insane, right? And overtime with the game winner. All his touchdowns came late. You know, everything just came late. It was like kind of like, let's go. I'm gonna carry you. And that's my point is the Warriors had role players. They had a guy Poole come off the bench and pretty much, put a dagger in the Lakers there in their hopes. So when you have role players that step up, it makes your job easier. And what you saw on Sunday for the offense, I went from my buddy sitting next to me at the game yelling at the running backs, you're a bunch of retreads. This running, you know, and that's what it was. I mean, I'm not calling them has-beens, but I mean, that's what – it's a fact. These guys weren't, like, traded for, you know, in high regards. I mean, they were – I mean, Devonta Freeman was like in his 14. You know, Le'Veon Bell wasn't playing football. You know, like Latavius Murray wanted out of New Orleans because obviously he's behind Alvin Kamara and he wants to play. Like these guys weren't getting, you know, either getting the touches or they were on the streets. And, you know, if the Ravens running back stayed healthy, these guys probably, I don't even know if they would play football this year, probably. I don't know. I mean, there's been injuries in the NFL with Chris McCaffrey and such, but that's our point. Lamar didn't even run it. Our running backs got involved. All three scored a touchdown. They rushed for 100, almost 200 yards. It was, you know, they got back to what's doing. And to the credit going into this matchup, we knew it was probably going to be a shootout, right, with the offenses. But the Chargers were still getting about 154 yards a game rushing. So the Ravens already knew they were vulnerable. The Browns proved that with their rushing attack and still with the aerial assault there. So, you know, that was awesome to see. Lamar didn't have to do anything. And statistically, he had more picks than touchdowns, right? He had two interceptions and one touchdown throw and didn't even throw for 200 yards passing, but still got the job done. He was still efficient in that regard to where I was sitting in the stands. He looked at, I mean, he was throwing darts there, but and role players step up. And not only that, but the debut of our first round draft pick, Bateman, chain mover, 4 for 4, catching the ball, moving the ball. And I know the one went off his hands for the interception there. And where I was sitting, I've yet to see the because I usually record the games when I go to games in person. That deflection to me, I think if he catches that, it looked like he had nothing but green grass in front of him to the end zone. I just remember that play vividly. Like, oh, if he catches it, it's a big gainer. But a lot of people stepped up in this game offensively. You know, the running backs helped out. The Ravens running backs look, dude. They look phenomenal on Sunday. I mean, the scheme run blocking was awesome. Defonta Freeman was running hard. Good to see Le'Veon Bell get his first touchdown as a Raven. We know Murray's been scoring there. We know Devonta Freeman, if correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was even Freeman's first touchdown as a Raven here. So might even be a second. So that was awesome to see. And it took the pressure off Lamar. We already knew what Lamar can do throwing it, right, Brad? So, you know, to see the running backs get involved, and we talked about it, right? We talked about the drop-off of, like, how the Ravens started the first two games rushing the heck out of the ball, and then now the Ravens are winging all over the field. So we already know the Ravens, with all their players in IR, are still getting it done at 5-1. They won the fifth straight, and it's incredible to see that we already know that they can do it in the air. They can do it on the ground. They can do it in multiple ways. You have to stay healthy, knock on wood. You know, no more injuries right now. But right now, bro, What an offensive performance on the ground. Not only that, but we actually, even it was right at the 2-minute warning, but hey, we heard a Tyler Huntley signing. We saw him in the game. So it was funny. At the 2-minute warning in the game, obviously stayed the whole time, started making my way down the stairs and we were slapping hands and high-fiving everybody and hugging people and was just like, hey, great win. Congratulating, you know, Ravens flock for being there vocal. And when we heard the announcement of Tyler Huntley in the game, we were all cheering because it was like, finally, like, I know it's not like 12 minutes into the fourth quarter as a blowout, but and not only that, but how impressive were the Ravens' time of possession? Dominating 38 minutes and 7 seconds to the Chargers, 21-30-53. Bro, almost a 2-1 favorite in that regards. I mean, I don't know what you thought about what a point in the game where they felt it was in hand, but to do what they did, it was funny because when they went to the coin toss and they deferred, I'm like, why are you guys deferring? I want to score fast because how many times have we talked about it? The defense was already suspect to begin with. We talked about it. Like, all right, they were the big question mark. The Ravens offense always sputters, starts slow. I'm like, no, I want the ball to go down and score 7 and then get the house rocking and the defense going with the lead. And they kind of proved it wrong. And then what they did at the end of, at the start of the second half, when they were up 17-6, they had a 17-0 lead. Obviously, the Chargers got that late touchdown with the turnover by the Ravens. But, you know, in that regards, with the missed extra point there, the Ravens took half the quarter in the third quarter, went down and scored 7. It was 24-6. I knew at that point the game was over. It was awesome. That reminded me of 2019, how we just took it to teams.
It did remind me of 2019 as well. And watching Good Morning Football this week, when Good Morning Football actually starts talking about the Ravens, that's when, you know, people are going to be taking this team seriously. Because all through the summer, all through the off season, all through the preseason, nobody was talking about the Ravens. It was kind of like, we'll see what they're doing. Right now, as we're talking on this Wednesday night, the Ravens are sitting by themselves on top of the AFC.
Thanks to the Titans and the Bills not getting their conversion and not kicking a field goal, but that's besides the point. That was a thriller, by the way.
Yeah.
If you stayed up for it.
But here's the thing, though. Watching that game, the very beginning, when the Chargers, they kind of were like stomping down the field, I was a little worried. I'm like, all right, here's how the rest of this day is going to go. But they never felt like they were in control after that. That first possession where they lost that ball, it became Lamar's game. It became the Ravens show, and they never let go of that lead. It was amazing to see. I mean, the Chargers, they missed an extra point. They've only got 6 points, not even the normal 7. So for this to happen, it was kind of mind-boggling after the season we've had. But they brought this up on Good Morning Football. The Ravens are the most injured team in the NFL. I think that
now with 17 with Brian Stanley going on IR this week, 17, and they get Nick Boyle back.
Right. Nick Boyle, he's been activated. We'll talk about Ronnie and Nick before we talk about the Bengals game coming up, but
sorry for jumping ahead, my friend.
No, you're fine. 15. So 15 on Sunday, hurt. And then it moved up to 17 because we know Sammy Watkins is a little banged up right now. Ronnie Stanley's going on long-term injury reserve, but They're bringing it up and having this discussion on Good Morning Football, and Kay Adams was like, how do you not take Baltimore seriously right now? They have so many players out on IR, and they dominated the Chargers, a team that last week you and I were saying it, other people were saying it, why isn't this game in prime time? Both of these teams have the same record. This game is going to be so good, and then it turned out to be so lopsided. And the Ravens just came in and completely dominated it. And Chris Carter is one of the guest hosts of Good Morning Football this week. And I like him as a commentator a lot, but he's on here and he's saying, like, they're one injury away. They're one injury away from
so being is defeated. Everybody else. I know what you're talking about. I was getting a little fired up with that because I'm like, dude, what if Josh Allen goes down? Then the Bills are irrelevant. What if Tom Brady goes down? The Bucs are relevant. What if Dak Prescott gets hurt again? Like, dude, like, I know what he was saying, but I'm like, isn't that – and like they were saying, like, I know – and remember, Kay was really defensive in that. Not only that, but NFL Live, to your point, NFL Live led off with the Ravens. They didn't lead off with the Cowboys, who obviously won in dramatic fashion with probably the game of the week also with Monday night. They didn't lead off the Cardinals going 6-0. It was the Ravens, man. And not only that, but – and you probably saw the video. Mina Kimes was fired up about the whole Lamar criticism. Like, that's enough. Like, she was like, no, this is it. And I've been on it too. Like, dude, it's it. Like, at this point, you gotta just take it for what it is. But to your credit and point there, I posted a little bit earlier, the key skill players, they were out Dobbins, Gus Edwards, and Rashad Bateman until today or this weekend. They're without Marcus Peters. And Derek Wolf's been irrelevant, and I think they're probably going to shelf him. And they've now lost Ronnie Stanley for the year, and Nick Boyle – well, Nick Boyle's coming back. So take those two players off. We got Boyle coming back, and Rashad Bateman's definitely been back, as we've seen. But that's right. Case points right. They're leading the AFC after 6 weeks by one game, but they're right. They're the best record in the AFC, and they have all these injuries. I'm like, how can you not take them seriously and pick them as a big favorite coming out of here when it's like, they're doing it without, you know, their stars, you know, or key players. I'm going to say stars. They still have stars on the team, but key players in those positions. You know, everybody else to me is relatively healthy. I know the Bills just lost their tight end. You know, I know there's a lot of key injuries across the NFL, but that's my point. I'm like, Chris Carter, it's like they're one injury away. What about the Panthers? The Panthers lost Christian McCaffrey. for a few weeks. What about Russell Wilson on the Seahawks? Like, they're one injury away. They're starting Geno Smith, of all people. They're thinking about picking up Cam Newton. So, like, I get what he's saying, but I'm like, the single out the Ravens was pretty moronic to me, because I'm like, dude, everybody's an injury away or two. I mean, come on, dude. Like, I get it, though.
But, I mean, I don't know if they were – I mean, they're testing out to fill Nate Burleson's seat, so I don't know if they were a little
extra harsh. It's been a revolving chair. I like Mike right. Robb. They should promote Mike Robb to that show.
But yeah, I mean, it's nice to see these different people, but it's kind of like they were kind of growing this guy to see how he would do in a debate. But Kay Adams was completely right, and you got to love all the takes. And I mean, look it up on YouTube, and she's completely defending the Ravens, but they're like, they're one injury away. And she said, that's what we said in the preseason. They're one injury away. That's what we said after game one when Ronnie Stanley went out, and they've won every game since he's been out. One injury away. They've been one injury away the entire year, and they're still winning. They're still winning. So he said, there's a reason why these people are on the practice squad. There's a reason why these people aren't the starters. And he has a point there. Absolutely. Can they go the full 17? Only time will tell. But right now, this team is confident. This team is playing well, and they have good leadership in Lamar Jackson. They've got good leadership on the defensive end with Calais Campbell. These guys know how to get people ready to go. Rashad Bateman had his first game. I thought he looked pretty good. He had a couple good catches, that missed catch that turned into an interception. That one, you know, you gotta hold on to the ball. It hit him right in the chest. Lamar couldn't have been more perfect for that pass. I mean, it hits you in the chest. You hear that noise of it hitting him in the chest and bouncing off. Right. You got to catch that ball. But I'm not going to, you know, rake this guy over the coals. This is his first game. He's coming off an injury. It's a pretty serious injury as well. The fact that he's playing, you know, 2 months later is a big deal. You got to give him time to get used to Lamar's throws and get used to the NFL, because he's a rookie. This is his first NFL game. So you
and I thought he did pretty well, considering. I mean, he was targeted. He was targeted at team high six times in the past game. I mean, granted, Lamar didn't really attempt a lot of passes to begin with, but, you know, they were more of the rushing side. But he was actually team high with six targets and caught four of them for first right. downs. He was a chain mover. He caught his first four passes thrown to him in the NFL, and they both moved the chains, and the longest one was 11. I thought it was impressive, and it reminded me of the possession receivers that we've had of old. I'm not comparing him to any Hall of Famers or anybody out there, but – One comes to mind is a Derek Mason back in Flacco's heyday, right? You know, just get out there and get open. But Bateman's obviously more dynamic. He's a rookie. He's fast. He's young. He's going to be more physical. But it's just like, you know, that to me was promising. It wasn't like he was thrown to and he slipped, or he had the drops, or he fumbled the ball trying to make a move. Like, the dude was very efficient, and I was very impressed with that debut. Given that we didn't really know much about him, that impressed me, because everybody's like, well, you're impressed with four catches for, you know, less than 50 yards. Well, it's what they did. They moved the chains. It was an impactful play. It wasn't like he caught the ball in a screen pass and was trying to make moves and he got snuffed out. They were efficient in getting him the ball. So I'm excited to see what he can do. And right, Harbaugh was even surprised. You know, I don't know who's, because it's funny when you hear some of these things in press conferences, right? Harbaugh's the head coach, and it's always like you're curious what the head coach's responsibilities are, because, you know, the coordinators have their thing, right? They handle the offensive defense. But Harbaugh was like, he said right in the press conference, I think Bateman had like 40 something snaps, and he goes, yeah, I was surprised. That was a lot more than what I thought. And I'm like, are you not monitoring that? Or is that Greg Roman? Like, I would love to know what these guys' roles are, but it's like Harbaugh was shocked, and we were all shocked. I'm like, the dude's out there most of the game. So, and doing that, it was impressive to see him, because I thought it was going to be a slow roll, and they rolled him out there and he played most of the game, which was awesome.
Yeah. And like you said, the three running backs, each of them scored a touchdown: Latavius Murray, Le'Veon Bell, Devontae Freeman. You like seeing that way. Lamar isn't the guy that's running all over the place. And with these guys being a little bit older, it's probably really smart to have these three players all, there's not one guy playing the whole game. You know, they're splitting it up. It's a three-headed monster almost, and it's good to see that. Le'Veon Bell's touchdown, I mean, that looked incredibly easy. I'm not taking anything away from any football player, but watching him just literally walk into the end zone, I was like, hey, you know, I could probably do that. That didn't seem too hard. So congrats to those three guys, Le'Veon Bell especially, coming back, doing his thing, working his way off the practice squad.
Yeah, man.
He had a lot of doubters, me included, that he was going to be on this team. But he is coming out. He is making plays. That's what you want to see. If you do want to talk a little bit about some negatives, Lamar Jackson, he did throw two interceptions. Of course, we'd rather not have that happen. And then the offensive line did allow the Chargers to get to Lamar a little bit more than I would have liked. It seemed like he was sacked more than normal. And again, this is a banged up offensive line, but you do want to see Lamar on his feet more than on his back right now, especially with him having a bad back. But I think overall, this really was a team win. It was a strong win. It really showed what these guys can do. Yes, there's some things we can nitpick and they need to work on, and I think they will. But overall, man, this game, I felt like this was a dominant win. This is a game I think all the Ravens should be very proud about playing, and everybody did their job.
Yeah, man, they did. And a couple of things definitely turning the attention to defense. Right, Deshaun Elliott came back, got his interception. That was a beautiful interception. Read that perfectly, stepped right in front of the defender, and it looked like Herbert was thrown to him in that regard. And that's where that kind of unraveled. It was 17-0 late in the second quarter. The Ravens stopped him, Deshaun Elliott interception, and the very next play, Lamar gives it back, and then the Chargers go down, score their six with the missed extra points. So you're kind of like, you're going in the half like, man, you just lost the momentum. And then they go right out. And what was even more impressive, you know, I before I even talk about defense, is when they went out and took the opening possession in the third quarter. Do you realize that Duvernay returned the ball to almost midfield? They took almost the half the third quarter on a 50-yard drive. It was insane. I'm like, I was sitting in the stands and I was like, we're just paper cutting them. We're just like, first down, time possession. It's a clock sticking. I'm like, that's just tiny paper cuts, man. Like, that just hurts you. And, but talking about the defense and the turnaround, what would the personnel move that made the difference was Josh Bynes at middle linebacker. We've had our issues with, you know, criticizing Patrick Queen in that regard, and rightfully so. Monday night he took a lashing, not only in social media but in our group messages. And Josh Bynes came back to the team as a middle linebacker here. He got, you know, and you know, that made all the difference, because not only that, but it shifted everybody else's roles with him and Deshaun Elliott back. I really hope that Josh Bynes remains middle linebacker, because I felt like that was a difference. But not only that, but did you notice how the team was tackling a lot crisper and better? They were on these guys. Like, there was a couple of times where Eckler caught a screen pass. And remember, we talked about it, how the screen pass is the Achilles heel of his defense, because Jonathan Taylor had a field day. I'm like, Eckler's going to take, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 catches and probably take it to him. And I'm like, this is going to be a long day. And there was a screen pass to Eckler where I thought he was going to break the tackle. And I forget who made the tackle. I think it was Stevens, if I remember. I don't even know who it was. But they, like, wrapped him up and put him down. And I'm like, these guys were hitting. Bynes had a crazy good hit in the middle of the field. These guys were hitting. I felt like the defense probably had a heck of a week in practice, because these guys got the message. They were like, enough's enough. And to do it against a Chargers team who was 4-1 at that point, who is potent and putting up. I mean, dude, a week ago, I saw it on my dad's fantasy. My dad had talked about it. My dad had Eckler, Herbert, and Mike Williams on the same team. And a week ago, they all three put up, you know, almost 30 points a pop in fantasy. And then this week, they didn't barely get that together. So credit to the Ravens defense for really doing this. It was a big test. Not only that, but there's two things, right? Didn't know this again. Ravens set another franchise mark. This was the most lopsided win against a team with an 800 record or more. They won by 28 points and they beat a team, obviously, 4-1 record. That's an 800 winning percentage. This was the largest margin of victory by a team with an 800 or more winning percentage in the league. So for the franchise, at least for the Ravens. So that was impressive. Not only that, but Lamar Knox's 35th win does eclipse Dan Marino for the most ever by a quarterback before the age of 25 in the league. And, dude, Lamar turns 25 in January. That means he's got the rest of this regular season to add on to that. So it's going to be awesome to see if he can add to that. I'd like to see him get to the 40 mark. If not, I mean, it's 5 more wins. It could be very, very easily doable this year. But fifth win in a row, great. You know what I did some digging, though? When I heard about Lamar's 35th win, and you hear it a lot, right? Lamar is synonymous with – a lot of Hall of Famers. Obviously, he was the second unanimous MVP in 2019 to only Tom Brady. He surpassed Dan Marino for the most wins for age 25. He has a lot of accolades in relation to some Hall of Famers. You know what I did? I did some nerdy things, dude. I went online and looked up some stats. I'm a numbers guy, being my profession with some loons. So in comparison, and it got me thinking as I was watching the Bills, and I looked up Dan Marino's numbers because and this happened during Monday Night Football. I was bored looking up numbers, and I was going to look up Lamar's numbers at his pace currently to Dan Marino's, but I was like, dude, Dan Marino threw for like 62,000 yards and had like so many touchdowns. I was like, let me slow your roll. And the reason why I did that because, and I pulled quarterbacks that didn't win the Super Bowl, and there's a reason for that because Lamar hasn't won one yet, and I didn't want to compare him to somebody that had two or three titles. So then I scaled back and said, well, I was watching the Bills game, so let me see what Jim Kelly's numbers were. Surprisingly, Jim Kelly's numbers were very, very low. Now, I know that it was different eras, but Jim Kelly didn't really play that long in the NFL. And not only that, but this was interesting. And just put some perspective what Lamar's doing in comparison to some numbers out there. Lamar Jackson – And I posted this a little bit ago. Lamar Jackson has already 25% of the passing yards, 35% of the wins, and 32% of the passing touchdowns than Jim Kelly had.
That's crazy.
Jim Kelly only won over a little over 100 games as a quarterback in the NFL, and Lamar is 35. Put it in perspective. Now, I know we know the success that Kurt Warner had, and he played with Hall of Famers on that, but Kurt Warner only won 67 games as an NFL starting quarterback. Lamar's at 35. Not saying like, you know, at this pace, but you're seeing my point. At this pace, winning a Super Bowl or not doesn't solidify your legacy. There's tons of people in the Hall of Fame don't even have a ring, and we can get to that way down the road. But Lamar's numbers, you know, and that's what's fascinating because he can throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns like he did Monday night, or he can throw for 100, 150, one touchdown, two interceptions, and he can still win the game. It's a supporting cast around them that makes him better, but we know he could turn on just like that and go, okay, hey, Mark Andrews, you want 200 yards and two touchdowns? Sure, we're getting you the ball. Hey, Hollywood, help us out. We're going to throw the bomb. You're going to catch it. Hey, Bateman, you're going to move the chains. Hey, running backs, we need some help. Like, these guys can turn it on to help him out, and it all throws for number eight, and it's fascinating. So just crunching numbers a little bit, thought that was fascinating in itself, but Ravens are 5-1. Dude, just put it in perspective, they're 35-8 since he's took over. How spoiled are we? Eight losses since mid 2018. I mean, it's incredible, and they're marching on to, you know, their four straight playoff berth. And as of right now, if the playoffs started after 6 weeks in the NFL, the Ravens would actually have another number one seed in overall. So, and you know how the playoffs are right now structured, the number two seed doesn't get you the bye week. It's that coveted number one and home field advantage gets you the bye. So the Ravens, you know, win advance. They got to keep this pace, but dude. You know, in looking back on our shows and covering it, right, you know, covering the doom and gloom, you know, Dobbins going down in the preseason against Washington, Gus Edwards and Marcus Peters in the same practice going down. If you'd have told me we would be recording after 6 weeks and the Ravens would be 5-1 with five straight wins and leading the AFC, bro, I would have laughed at you and I would have not taken that bet. And if I'd taken that bet, I would have lost the house. this is special. How it's like how, and it's not only how, but like you got to appreciate it. As we went back to what you said before with Good Morning Football and Kay Adams's points and all that, and really looking at it, the Ravens are 5-1 with all these players in IR, with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen in the AFC, and they're the leading top dog. They got the most wins right now. I don't care if it's by five games, one game, two games. You know, the facts are facts. They're the top dog in the AFC, and they have the most wins in the AFC right now. It's incredible. And obviously with the NFL best market 6-0 overall with the Cardinals, there are a few handful of teams at 5-1 too. And the Ravens are up there, and you have to start talking about elitist and putting the E word out there. I'm saying, hey, they could be a cream of crop. And there was numbers out there, Brandon, even with the Bills loss, they're still a complete team. I know they lost their tight end for a few weeks now with the injury, but the Bills had a 51% chance of winning the AFC title game, means advancing the Super Bowl. The Ravens were next best odds at 20%. It falls off big time with the Chiefs at 8%. So the Ravens putting themselves in position with these wins, and I don't care how they're doing it, whether it's style points, winning it with defense, winning it with offense, throwing it in the ball, running the ball, they're wins. At the end of the day, these W's matter because we can pick apart any matchup all day long. You know, there's quarterbacks out there throwing for 300 yards and throwing touchdowns and losing games in the clip. There's people out there that are not throwing the ball and they're winning. Ravens are winning right now with, I don't know what formula, and it's working. And, you know, I can't wait to see what happens next at that point. But you're right. It was a drama-free Sunday. it was crazy to just get back to that. And, you know, hey, at least it wasn't as crazy as we thought of a game it was, but it was a lot of wow factors, not only the fans, but media. They were like, none of us expect, like, wow. Like, and it was a statement win. And like Harbaugh alluded to in the press conference, it's putting people on notice and whom people are paying attention, because the Ravens are for real, dude. I don't care. Injuries or not.
Ravens are for real. People are noticing. And that's absolutely true, that people are looking at the team going, ooh, how far can these guys really go? Look what they've done so far. So halfway through the season, you love to hear that kind of stuff, and the Ravens are doing what they have to do. Now, let's talk a little bit about the injury front. Ronnie Stanley has been put on long-term injury reserve. He's going to be out the rest of the year. He had to undergo another ankle surgery. Has to be heartbreaking for him. He missed, what was it, half of the season last year. He came back, went through training camp, played the first game. They kind of realized something wasn't right. He sat out. They were hoping that he wouldn't have to go on into surgery again, but here we are. He had yet another surgery, and he's going to miss the entire rest of this season. So good news is Villanueva has filled in at that spot really well in Ronnie Stanley's absence. So that's good. At least some the silver lining, I guess you can say, about that injury. But hopefully Ronnie Stanley can come back at 100%. You know, it's kind of crazy to think that this injury happened mid-November last year and it's still affecting him. And ankles are really difficult to heal, and obviously he needs a little bit more time, but will he ever come back at 100%? I mean, that's you never know. Hopefully, yes.
There was talks of him maybe even retiring, and people would understand that. Just yeah. Like Andrew Luck with his retirement suddenly with the Colts. It's you know, with these injuries, they piling up. And if you know your body and you need to talk to the doctors and you know you can't probably make a full recovery at this point, cut your losses, man. You hate to see it, but it could be a possibility because this is 2 years in a row.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. So we'll see what happens next year, next training camp. All the best to Ronnie Stanley. I mean,
did you hear what he said? Monster.
No, what did he say?
He tweeted last night, you know, and it's a three-part thread. I thought it was awesome. I'm going to read it very quickly. It says, and this is Ronnie Stanley on his official Twitter account as of last night on the 19th. As I sit here in my hospital bed post-surgery, I have a lot of mixed emotions. One hand, I'm angry, sad, upset, depressed, knowing things could have been different. I should have been gearing up for a Super Bowl run instead. And that's even awesome. Super Bowl run, he says. But instead, I'm back in the same hospital I was in almost a year ago. Pretty sad. Not being able to fight, compete, physically sacrifice for my teammates for the second season or it was mentally debilitating. On the other hand, I'm grateful, hopeful, excited that I get another opportunity to do this the right way, have a chance to be everything I need to be for my team, and that wouldn't be possible without this surgery. I'm thankful for all the support from my family, teammates, friends, and best fans of Ravens flock. I'll take full advantage of this chance I've been given. It will be challenging, but with God's grace and will, I'm confident. So that was from the main man, Ronnie Stanley. We wish him all the best in the recovery and see what his future is with the team. And I really hope he stays around. I'd like to see him make a full recovery and see what happens. But we do certainly miss the guy solely on that offensive line, big time.
Absolutely. And earlier today, Nick Boyle, he was activated off of the PUP list, and now he is going to be a part of the team. He has 21 days to exercise and get back into shape before the Ravens have to make a decision of whether or not to put him back on injury reserve or if he will be able to take the field. So they have 21 days counting down from the 20th of October. So only time will tell there. He's another guy. I think he was taken out was it the Patriots game last year? I believe it was the Patriots game up in New England, and we haven't seen him since. He was in training camp a little bit, had surgery last year, had another surgery in July. So we do miss him as well on this team. He's a very defensive-minded offensive guy, so he fills a lot of holes for the Ravens. But hopefully we get to see him back, and hopefully he stays on track, and we will be able to see him in you know, maybe about a month.
Absolutely.
Now, looking forward to this Sunday, it is the first AFC North matchup for the Ravens this year. It is the Ravens versus the Cincinnati Bengals. Before we get into that, though, we do have to talk a little bit about Josh. You had some fun this week, and you actually got to hang out, and you met Justin Tucker in between games, in between the show and Sunday's game. So tell me, what was that experience like? What was it like meeting Justin Tucker and meeting the history-making Justin Tucker?
Bro, it was awesome. It was a unique experience given the COVID situation, but we certainly can understand that. I was anticipating this, that it came out a few weeks ago. My buddy, good Chris Lupton, he runs Lupton Sports Collectibles. I want to give a shout out to him and his company for putting on a great production. Having Justin Tucker up in Harco was awesome. It was great. You know, it's not only that, but it was a great, great evening to, you know, mingle with fans. I saw some friends there. They definitely had run the game Sunday. We were talking about the season, the game, and just getting to see Tucker again. It was crazy nostalgia. 8 years ago, I met him once again and had him sign the picture, because I was in Detroit for the 61 yarder that he kicked, and had that ticket and the picture signed. And certainly when I knew he kicked the 66 yarder and this signing was coming, I was like, I got to get there, have to get the picture of him signing the NFL record. And he inscribed it, NFL record, 66 yard field goal. Phenomenal. And I got that, you know, in my stash now. And hopefully it stays for all time to come. And for all those out there, I'm going to plug, you know, if you want some, the Justin Tucker swag and missed out, Tucker did sign a lot of the helmets and the pictures as well for Lupton Sports Collectibles. So go to LuptonSportsCollectibles.com, look up the memorabilia, get your piece of history. Tucker's 66-yard commemorative signatures out there. So it was an awesome time.
All right, so looking forward to this Sunday's game up against the Bengals. Ravens, they're enjoying this month at home at M&T Bank Stadium. They will once again be at M&T Bank in the daylight at 1 o'clock to take on the Bengals. And the Ravens are preparing, and I'm happy to hear this. They are not taking the Bengals lightly. Lamar is undefeated against the Cincinnati Bengals since he started his NFL career. And you like to hear that, but this is a very different team than the Ravens have seen in the past. And they have Joe Burrow right there as their quarterback. And he's chugged them along for a lot of wins this year. This one is not going to be we said this every other week this week, but this is not going to be an easy one for the Ravens. And I like that they're not taking this team lightly. They are taking them very seriously. I think this is going to be a classic AFC North matchup. What do you think?
Dude, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a crazy clash of two front running teams right now in the division. Who'd have thought about that? We literally thought it was going to be pretty much Ravens Browns, being that the Steelers would take a back seat. And, this is an all-important matchup. The AFC North, first place on the line. Bengals get the victory somehow, and we're all not up at 5-2, and the Bengals get a half-game lead with that game up on us with the win. And if the Ravens can take care of business going into the bye week, the Ravens will win their sixth straight, be 6-1, and two games up on the Bengals, putting the Bengals at 4-3 and 6-1. So that would be – it's a huge, huge battle. And not only that, again, it's 1 o'clock billing. We understand that the NFL cannot be moving games just in the Ravens' favor because they have the best matchups of the week. But in the meaningful impact of the week, there are always meaningful and impactful matchups. But it is the NFL Total Access game of the week, as I heard this week. So they picked this matchup. It's going to be awesome, dude. And what a year turnaround. We know Burrow got hurt, a year removed from the injury, but he's got that rookie Jamar Chase. Let's start there, man. We know A.J. Green has been a Raven killer, you know, here for years. And when I mean here in Cincinnati, and obviously moved on to better things with the Cardinals and doing his thing out there. But then the Bengals drafted Jamar Chase, former LSU teammate of Joe Burrow. And you're like, oh, here we go. Joe Mixon's found a stride. And with the trio of T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, and now Jamar Chase is, and it's funny, things how turn around. Jamar Chase was having some drops. He's in the preseason. Will he pan out? And he's just been a fantasy nightmare and awesome, killing it for us. And dude, he's gonna be a problem. And that's like the one word that I hear Jamar Chase describe. Oh, he's a problem, and we gotta defend him twice a year. And with the secondary, there's where the challenge is gonna be. They just did that to the Chargers, shutting down their offense with Eckler, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Jared Cook and Herbert. And now they gotta face a divisional foe in their first AFC North matchup. It's going to be awesome to see this chess match and see how they can scheme this up. Jamar Chase is going to be the X factor in that passing game. And not to discount Tyler Boyd can do, but we understand we hate Tyler Boyd here, don't we? Yeah. Ruined our New Year's Eve a few years ago.
I remember that.
Absolutely. No good at all.
Do you see Marlon Humphrey being paired up against Ja'Marr Chase. That's what I'm kind of seeing. I like you said, it's going to be a chess match. So obviously I want this defense to play like they did up against the Chargers. I want them to kind of do the same thing. I want them to make Joe Burrow uncomfortable. They got to get to him, and they got to break up that Burrow to Chase action, because that's deadly, as we have seen so far this season. And I'm thinking Marlon Humphrey's got to be the guy on Ja'Marr Chase, and I don't want to see Anthony Averett anywhere near Chase.
You don't want to see Anthony Averett anywhere near Chase. That's I couldn't echo that anymore. But not only that, but we did forget about that. Anthony Averett actually had an okay game.
He did. He definitely bounced back.
Yeah. So it's going to be one of those kind of things, right? Week to week, might get burned one week, but you prove it the other week. So, but dude, the Ravens had their hands full again with this offense and the offense of Cincinnati. That's where it's like, look, you did that to the Chargers. Not saying blow out the Bengals 40-7, but that would be awesome, wouldn't it? But, you know, but follow that up. You don't want to prove that it just was a fluke, especially, and you're not trying to prove the national media right and prove all the critics right, you know, wrong, I should say. But you want to prove that you're elite. You want to prove that you belong. The defense should take what they did from the Chargers game, and it's a different scheme and all that, and different personnel. But you take that, and you apply it to the Bengals game, and you make them just snuff them out, and it's going to cause, you know, some issues too with, you know, looking at a game to game, because you're right, they confused Herbert. They did a great job of that personnel, and you know, every team's got access to film, so it's like you have to adjust what you're doing, not do the same things. But to see the defensive scheme, because Herbert didn't know where the pressure was coming from, it looked like they were in cover zero, and then they would all drop back in zone. And yeah, I really hope that they can put a good game plan together and really snuff out what Burrow and the offense can do, because they got it going on this year at 4-2, man. They're definitely a surprise team.
Yeah, they definitely do. They're doing a fantastic job. And like you said earlier, it is a chess match. I really hope that the offensive, defensive coordinators and John Harbaugh are preparing like they should. I hope that they are prepared to make changes at halftime. We've seen them kind of get snake bit after going into the locker room at halftime and not adjusting their game. Cincinnati, you know, that it's a team that they're going to be watching. And if they saw Anthony Averett get exploited, they're going to do the same thing this coming Sunday. So hopefully the Ravens are doing their homework. I know the Bengals are doing their homework. This is a big one. If the Bengals were to beat the Ravens, they're really making a statement that they're legit and they're just as real as the Ravens proved that they were this past Sunday. You know, right. The Ravens for the AFC are the measuring stick right now. If you can beat the Ravens, then you might be, you know, you might be big time. If the Ravens can go away with another win, this is going to be their first one in the division, which is a fantastic, I mean, in hockey terms, this is a 4-point game. You know, if you can beat one of your division rivals, it's a 4-point game because you're getting 2 points and keeping 2 points away from them in hockey. If they can beat the Bengals, this is a big game inside the division for the AFC North. So this is their first one too. And that's huge. Absolutely huge. So let's see what they can do. I need this offensive line to keep Lamar on his feet.
Yes,
we saw what happened the last couple weeks, and the Bengals defense, they've got a great defensive line as well. They were breaking through last week, getting to their opponent's quarterback. If Lamar is pressured, if he has no time in the pockets and he starts running, that's when bad things can happen. So let's get the offensive line, make sure they are protecting their quarterback, because the Bengals, they will come after Lamar and they will bang, you know, bust him and put him on his butt.
Absolutely. The offensive line is going to certainly be under a microscope all year. I mean, you know, with the run blocking and the pass blocking, and, you know, it all comes down to the lines. It always comes down to trenches. Not only that, but, you know, on the other side, you want the Ravens' ability to stop the pressure on Lamar and make a clean pocket, but the Ravens' pressure on the other quarterback, right? Right now, the Ravens combined for 8 QB hits from their defensive backs and NFL best, including 3 from Elliott and Tavon Young, respectively. And they're actually ranked, they have 38 overall hits on the quarterback, and that's ranked the 6th best mark in the NFL. So that's some numbers to chew on there. I really want to break down, you got to get after Burrow and the quarterback and get him off. What I found, you know, interesting about the Chargers matchup and the defensive schemes is Herbert really looked confused, but when he did, the Ravens had a lot of great pressures to force third and long. Like a couple of them, you know, I think, yeah, Chuck Clark, he batted the ball back in the backfield. And if I mean, it was a quick throw and he got his hands up, but if it was kind of like, if he can get his paws on that running, he had nothing but clean grass in front of him. And the defensive pressure was awesome against Herbert and really diffusing him, disguising the coverages and making him rattled. And the pressures got to him because there was a lot of times where there was, I want to say, a wide open pass, but the Chargers would have moved the ball more efficiently if he didn't get pressure, because there was a lot of times that pressure got in front of him and he threw it quicker than he wanted to, and he was off the mark, and or the receiver didn't turn around yet. He had to get rid of it or get sacked, or could be a turnover. So you have to credit that. It goes hand in hand. Like you said, the Ravens line and the ability to keep Lamar clean in the pocket and do those run zone blocking schemes, but the Ravens ability to really get after it. I really can't wait to see how that plays out. It's going to be awesome. And there's keys of the game, right? You know, take care of the football. You know, everything comes together. It's always like the keys are always similar in each matchup. Like, okay, we're number one at the top of the list. No turnovers. Can't give them free possessions. You know, obviously, and winning the matchups there in the trenches. I always said it comes down to the trenches with football, and that's where it's won and lost. And I really think that's going to be the difference in this game, is how much pressure can the Ravens put on Joe Burrow, make him rattled, and then how clean can they create a pocket for Lamar to maneuver in and that zone run blocking schemes to see if we can run the ball efficiently again.
Yeah, let's get the running backs doing their thing. Let's not have Lamar running all over the place. I want to see Rashad Bateman get his first touchdown. I think
that would be sweet,
fantastic to see. Yeah, Hollywood Brown, keep doing what you're doing. Mark Andrews finally seems like he's got his head in the game. So, I mean, that's all great to see. I want to see all of that. Let's look at the injuries that we know of so far, or the injury report. On Wednesday for the Ravens, Bradley Bozeman did not participate. Justin Houston did not participate. Latavius Murray did not participate. Jimmy Smith did not participate. Alexandro Villanueva did not participate. Sammy Watkins did not participate. And Tavon Young did not participate. So a couple of these guys are just rest. Justin Houston and Jimmy Smith were just rest. All the rest kind of had something bothering them. Bradley Bozeman actually left the game on Sunday, which was unfortunate. I don't know if he's been ruled out or not. He had a back issue. I like Bradley Bozeman, what I've seen so far in center. He's been taken up for his quarterback. So center's been a difficult spot for the Ravens the last couple of years, unfortunately.
It has.
But I like what Bozeman has been able to do so far this year. Hasn't been perfect, but has been better than the last few options that we have had at center. But let's see what happens to him closer to game time. Hopefully we'll see him in there. But the Bengals only had three guys not participate on their practice. Joe Burrow, Mike Thomas, they were all full participants on Wednesday. So Bengals look pretty healthy, and the Ravens, their injury woes are very well known. We had talked about them already.
Right.
That's definitely going to hurt them if they don't have certain players out there. I would expect the majority of these people, maybe Sammy Watkins, he's been a little banged up, not playing, but the rest, I imagine they will be out there on Sunday, but only time will tell. But, those are the Ravens not participating so far. So, what are the other options at center if it's not Bradley Bozeman?
I'm actually taking the liberty of looking at the depth chart now. You have Tristan Kloon and Patrick McCary, and in the Ravens official depth chart on their app, if it is up to date, which I assume it is, you have Tristan Kloon right behind Bradley Bozeman and Patrick McCary behind Kloon. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. It was good to see, because I know Murray, both him, it was Queen, Murray, and Bozeman both got a little banged up. And I, of course, being at the stadium, I was watching the sidelines intently. All three players, you know, got up on their own. There was no help there. So we'll see what certainly happens with in regards to the injuries there and going forward. And then with Nick Boyle in the mix, him being welcomed back to practice, as you mentioned on today, Wednesday, we're going to see. He's one of the best blocking tight ends in the league. We can certainly use him as a dual threat to catch a few balls. I would be surprised if he gets rolled out there, especially right before the bye week. I think they welcomed him back to practice. It was kind of like, it was interesting. It was almost like how Bateman got rolled out, right? It was like, you know, Bateman got activated, was practicing, but didn't play in the Monday night opener, and it was on the show because we thought he would play in the Monday night opener. It was like, no, we'll definitely need him for the Charger game. So I think Nick Boyle's going to be rolled out in practice. I think the Ravens are going to be smart not to throw him out there right before a bye week, because you figured if Nick's practicing now, it's going to be another two full weeks for him to get back and healthy. So, I don't think it would be smart for him to be out there.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see Nick Boyle until Miami.
short week. There you go. Wow. Okay. You're going to get one game ahead. All right. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, not to put anything against the Vikings or whatever, but I don't see – that's another home game for the Ravens. I don't see them putting Nick Boyle out there until they have to hit the road again. And it's, like you said, a shortened week, so they'll be playing Thursday night against the Dolphins. So I would be a little surprised if he even came back for Minnesota.
Yeah, I can see that happening. We'll see what happens. I'm going to stick with my guns and say Vikings. You say Dolphins. We'll see what happens in the next coming weeks. Hey, it might surprise us, and he might be even rolled out there, and we're all wrong. But again, no. Knowing the Ravens, I don't think it just doesn't. It just it's common sense. It just doesn't look like it'd be a deal situation. Yeah, let's just throw Nick out there in the fray on a divisional important matchup, and then he get banged up again, and then we're in the same boot. Let him heal up. You got the bye week now. If the bye week wasn't right after this game, maybe even take the chance with this all important matchup. But the Ravens were winning without him. It's better to get better and keep winning and get your guys back and be like, okay, well, we're losing. We need these guys to win. Like we alluded to at the beginning, man. The Ravens are winning without these guys, and we're getting them back. We got Bateman and Nick Boyle coming back. Let's go. So we'll see what happens.
All right, so what's your call for this game, Josh? I'm going to say, you know, like I said last week, I don't know how you bet against the Ravens. They seem to always find a way to win. I think this is going to be a close one, though, but I can see the Ravens winning. I'm going to say 27-24 Ravens.
Oh, close matchup. Okay, yeah. I also do see the Ravens taking care of business, and if they go to 6-1, they've never been 6-1 in their history. It'll be their best start ever as a franchise. Wow. They've been 5-1 a few times. So it'll be 2019. It can happen. So 6-1 would be a mark. It'll be their sixth straight win. I love win streaks here in Baltimore, streaking. And yeah, I think certainly the Ravens get it done with this divisional matchup. It's going to be all important. And it would certainly solidify themselves going into the bye week, knowing that they can at least be top dogs, if not tied with some of the top dogs in AFC, and keep pace for a top seed and a top position in the playoffs, and maybe even a division crown, and prove everybody wrong in that regards. But yeah, I'm going to go a little bit different score. I'm actually going to go, you say a 3-point win. I was in between a 4 and a 7-point win victory for the Ravens. I don't think it's going to be double digits. I think it's going to be a lot closer than what people think. These teams are more or less evenly matched. I'm actually going to go, I don't know if it's going to be high scoring or one of these low scoring slobber knockers.
All right, Jim Ross.
I'm going to go I'm going to say 27, same thing with the Ravens as your score, but I'm going to go 20 with the Bengals. I'm going to go 7 points lower. So you say 27-24, okay. I say 27-20. See what happens.
All right. But hey, cool. Hey, Ravens win. We're both saying Ravens win. I'm down for that. That's great. So Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
With the Raven, never mind.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Now go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know, and we're always sharing all kinds of cool stuff. Anything we find over on the interwebs, we are sharing over there on our Facebook page. Now we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Thank you, my friend. It's been awesome. As we approach our 300th episode at some point, it's always great. And, dude, what a year, man. The ups and downs so far, the excitements, and, we're ready for another great matchup in AFC North. Our first AFC North matchup. I can't wait. It's going to be really good, to see the Ravens get after their first divisional opponent and see what that brings. And, with the first looks, we know the Bengals are dangerous. Joe Mixon, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, and Joe Burrow on offense. Now, the defensive side of the matchup, wanted to certainly bring up and plug in that Villanueva matchup is going to be key on the offensive line and against Hendrickson. And I really hope that the Ravens can really keep that winning ways and find it. You know, who knows? They might not find a new creative way to win, or we might all be shocked and they might blow the Bengals out and go, okay, they just made two statements in a row. Look out, world. But anyway, it's going to be a great AFC North battle. here in Baltimore, we welcome the Bengals to Baltimore, but is it really a welcome? Because it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be another great installment of Ravens football on Sunday at 1 o'clock at the bank, right before the bye week, and get rested and ready to go for the second half of the year. Flock, let's go, baby. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.